Been looking the last couple of days, well, all this week I've been looking at Genesis chapter 24. And Genesis chapter 24 is, I believe it's the longest chapter. I meant to look that up, but I think it's the longest chapter in the book of Genesis. And the entire chapter is all dealing with one story. It's the story of Abraham sending his servant to his homeland to find a wife for Isaac. Because again, remember, Abraham has left the land of his fathers. He's come to the land that God had told him he would be his, and that he would have generation upon generation. So he has his son Isaac. Abraham's wife Sarah has just passed away. Isaac is alone. He's kind of struggling with the loss of his mother. And Abraham gets his servant, his head servant, his most trusted servant, and he sends him back to his homeland because he doesn't want his son marrying one of the Canaanite women because they live in the land of Canaan. He wants him to marry somebody that is from his own area and from his own family. So he sends the servant back to the homeland with the task of finding a wife for Isaac. And that's the whole story. But the beauty of that story is it focuses on the servant and how the servant goes about fulfilling that which was entrusted to him. And he does find Rebekah, the wife for Isaac. But it's just awesome how you see how all this works out. And the main verse that we've been looking at and referring to is in chapter 24 of Genesis, verse number 2. And Abraham said to the eldest servant of his house, Eleazar of Damascus, who ruled over all that he had, I beg of you, put your hand under my thigh. And then he gives him all the instructions of what he wants to do. But you'll notice in that verse, that first part of the verse, it says that this is the eldest servant of his house who ruled over all that he had. So this is the servant that had come to the place of showing himself to be dependable and trustworthy over obviously a long period of time, to where Abraham entrusted everything in his household to the servant. And so as we look through Genesis chapter 24, it's kind of an example for us because we see this servant, and how does this servant, who's been trusted with everything that his master has, how does this servant, this is the model example, what's his attitudes, what's his actions, how does he do things? It shows us how the servant serves the master. And it's an example for us of how we also serve our master. Now, again, we look at that in the natural world and we say, well, that's just kind of uncomfortable. I mean, I don't want to be I don't want to be a servant to someone else. I don't want to have a master. You know, we think of master as being something that is bondage. It's quite the opposite in Jesus Christ. It is liberty. It's freedom. It's all the things. It is more than you could ever expect. It's the freedom and the liberty that comes through Jesus Christ by making him master. So if we understand that and understand what it is to be a steward, which is what this servant obviously does, then we can figure out and see from this example of this story and this servant, we can see how we can place ourselves in the position and put ourselves in that arena where we are, just like this man, we're in that position where the Lord has entrusted everything that he has to us. Wouldn't you like to be entrusted with more than what you have by God? God wants to entrust everything to you. But like the servant, we have to show ourselves dependable and trustworthy. We have to demonstrate that we can be trusted with the things that he has. So as we were looking through all this, and what I had said to you the last couple of days is, you can read through Genesis chapter 24, and you will probably find more than I just quickly read through this and came up with 17 different characteristics. I'm sure you can find more. So we've been looking at those characteristics, and we looked at the first 8 through the last couple of days. But let's look at the 9th. This is another characteristic or attitude or mindset that this servant who was entrusted with all that the master had, this is the attributes, the characteristics, the mindset that he has. And if we understand that and apply that to our own lives and our own relationship with Jesus Christ, as we are servants unto him, it's going to help us get to that position where he can entrust more to us. And when I say more, I'm not just talking about finances. I mean where God is entrusting all that he has more and more to you. This is what we should long for as his servants. So here's the 9th thing, and I just touched on this at the end of yesterday. The servant trusts the Lord when he goes in obedience. So the servant is obeying. The servant obeys what the master says. He goes in obedience, but he doesn't go in obedience with that attitude of, well, I hope this works. It doesn't make a whole lot of sense to me. I tried this before and that didn't work. No, he goes in obedience, but he also goes with trust. He can't see how this is going to work out. He has no idea how to accomplish the task that's before him. How do I go back to a land that I don't know? I have no contacts there. How do I go back to this land? And how do I, once I get there, how do I find out who it is that the Lord has as the wife for my master's son? How do I find her? And how do I make it so that she'll agree to come back with me and that the family will accept this? None of that matters to him. He's been given a task. He goes to do the task. He has no plan. He doesn't know how to do it. He just goes in obedience, but he goes in trust as well. Let's look at a couple of verses from chapter 24 that illustrate this. In verse number 5, the servant said to him, this is when he's still with Abraham, "But perhaps the woman's not going to be willing to come along with me to this country. Must I take your son to the country from which you came?" Abraham said to him, "See to it that you do not take my son back there. The Lord, the God of heaven, who took me from my father's house, from the land of my family and my birth, who spoke to me and swore to me, saying, 'To your offering I will give this land,' he will send his angel before you, and you will take a wife from there for my son." That's verses 5, 6, and 7. So here's a servant. He's going in obedience. He just wants to know, give me the instructions. Well, what do I do if this happens? The instructions he's given is, you go, and the angel of the Lord is going to go before you. In other words, God is going to put this all in place before you get there. It'll all be arranged. You just have to go in obedience and trust. If we look ahead to verse number 56. Now this is when the servant is already, he's already identified Rebecca. He's already talked to Rebecca. Now he's talking and dealing with the family and making the preparations for Rebecca to come back with him to his master Abraham. In verse number 56 it says, "But the servant said to them, 'Do not hinder and delay me,'" because they said, "Hey, let's give it 10 days. You know, let her stay here at least 10 days, then she'll come." But he says, "Do not hinder or delay, seeing that the Lord has caused me to go prosperously on my way. Send me away that I may go to my master." So again, here he goes. He knows what he was instructed to do. And he wastes no time. Once he knows it's done, he sees that God has been faithful. And you can see the details of the story of how God worked that out, which is just very cool also. But once he's seen what God has done, he's just continually to be obedient. His master said, "You go, the angel's going to go before you, you bring her back here. My son's not going there, you bring her back here to my son." And when the family said, "Hey, just let it be for more time," he says, "Nope, we're going now." Verse number 57 says, "And they said, 'Well, we will call the girl and ask her, what is her desire?'" Verse number 58 says, "So they called Rebecca and said to her, 'Will you go with this man?' And she said, 'That I will go.'" This is the man who is obedient. This is what the master said. And so he does what the master says, and he does it to the details. He trusts that it's going to work out. It's so easy for us sometimes to get slowed down, to get waylaid. It would have been very easy. Look, I can see myself. If this is me, that servant, I can see myself. I've come all this way. I'm asking to take their sister slash daughter, family member, with me back to a foreign country. They'll likely never see her again. It would seem to me that it's a reasonable request to say, "Hey, let her stay here for 10 days at least, and then she'll go with you." That seems like a reasonable request. And in my mind, I can see myself, that's reasonable, and I would compromise. But he's being obedient to what his master said. You go, God will open the opportunity, he'll take care of all the details, then you bring her back to my son. And he doesn't get slowed down, he doesn't get off track. He stays in obedience. He stays steadfast to what he's called to do. And he's not allowing anything to hinder, to slow down. We allow so many things to hinder and slow down the process. And then we get upset with God. Well, why isn't this working? Well, a lot of times it's because I'm the one that's slowing down the situation. So the ninth thing we saw is that the servant trusts the Lord when he goes in obedience. Here's the tenth thing. Trust the Lord goes before him with unseen work. Also, God causes Rebecca to speak the words and to take the actions that he spoke. Let's look at a couple of different things to demonstrate this. But the point here is that the servant is trusting the Lord to go before him, even though he has not seen. This is an unseen work. Again, this is part of that obedience. It's important for him to go into obedience and trust, but he has to know. He has to have that total trust and confidence in God that as he's going and making this journey, put yourself in his position for a moment. If you're traveling from the promised land back to which is not a quick journey, back to the lands of the origins of Abraham. There's a lot of days and nights of doing nothing but traveling, of taking your camels, walking through the day or the night whenever they're traveling, sleeping, and then packing up, doing the same thing the next day. That's a lot of days and nights to think about this and to let your mind rationalize and rational thoughts say, "This, what am I doing? I'm going to a place. I have no idea where I'm going. I know no one there. How am I going to find, really, how am I going to find the daughter, or the wife for my master's son? How is this going to work?" We'd have so much time to think, and I'm sure he had plenty of time to think and plenty of time for doubts to enter in, but he had to trust in what was unseen. You see, his master already said, "You go, and the angel of the Lord's going to go before you. He's going to work out all the details. He'll put everything in place." But he had all those days to think about it, and all those natural thoughts enter in, which is the mistake that we make. We think about things. We think about it rationally, and our rational minds tell us, "I just don't know how it's going to work." All the servant had to do, the servant to whom the master entrusted everything in his household, all he had to do was go and trust and know that there's unseen work. He can't see the work that's being done, but that God is working, and God is getting these things done. Let's go back and look and see how this is working out. If we go all the way back towards the beginning of the story, starting in verse number 14. Now, in verse number 14, this servant has already come to the land of his fathers. So he's here, and now he's got to find, he's got no contacts, he doesn't know anybody, and he's got to find the one that is going to be the daughter, I'm sorry, is going to be the wife for his master's son. How's this going to work? But listen to what he says. This is his prayer. "And let it be so," this is his prayer to God, "and let it be so that the girl to whom I say, 'I pray, let down your jar that I may drink,' and she replies, 'Drink,' and I will give your camels drink also. Let her be the one whom you have selected and appointed and indicated for your servant Isaac to be a wife to him. And by it I shall know that you have shown kindness and faithfulness to my master." We talked about this yesterday. Look, his whole concern is his master. His first concern is not, "Look, I can't fail in this. I got to look good." His first concern is his master and the desires of his master. And because of that, he's going before God. And he says, "God, look, I'm here before this well. Here's what I'm going to do, God. Let it be that the person, the woman that comes, when I say to her this and this, she's going to respond and say, 'Yes, here, have drink, and let me also get drink for your camels as well.' That's how I will know. The one who is offering, who's responding in kind and providing, making provision for me, but the one who also goes above and beyond and says, 'Look, more than just water for yourself, let me also get water for your camels as well.' I will know by her saying that, by that response, that she's the one that you've chosen." So he is looking ahead. Now let's look at verse number 15. Before he had finished speaking, so he's saying this to God, but before he could even finish speaking, out comes Rebecca, who was the daughter of Bethuel, son of Milcah, and it was the wife of Nahor, the brother of Abraham, with her water jar on her shoulder. And the girl was very beautiful and attractive, chaste and modest and unmarried. And she went down to the well, filled her jar, and came up. And the servant ran to meet her and said, "I pray to you, let me drink a little water from your jar." And she said, "Drink, my lord." And she quickly let down her jar onto her hand and gave him a drink. When she had given him a drink, she said, "I will draw water for your camels also until they finish drinking." So we see that this is the qualities. These are the qualities that we should have. These are the qualities of the servant to whom the master entrusted everything. He went, he didn't know how it was going to work out. You can look ahead to your life. You can know that God has asked you to do certain things, and you have no idea how he's going to bring those things about. But all that's up to you, all that's up to me to do with those things that I know God has called me to do, is I move forward in obedience in those things. And when it comes to the place that I have to have the answer is already going to be prepared for me, and he will bring the people across my path that I need. He will make provision for all the things that I need to accomplish what he's called me to do. All I have to do is know it and believe it and be in conversation, be in communion, be talking with him. This is what the servant did. And God caused Rebecca to speak those words and to take the actions that he spoke. The servant, whom the master has entrusted everything to, trust the Lord to go before him and do the unseen work. There's nothing that this servant could do. The servant couldn't make You know, the right girl say the right thing. He had to trust in totally in God. Here's the 11th thing. The servant was bold in his obedience. Now, we just read verse 14. We read verses 15, 16, and 17. Let's continue on from there. And quickly, and she gave a drink to him. Verse number 20. So she quickly emptied her jar into the trough and ran again to the well and drew up all of his camels as well. The man stood gazing at her in silence, waiting to know if the Lord had made his trip prosperous. And when the camels had finished drinking, and the man, he took a gold earring and a shekel weight of gold, and from his hands two bracelets and 10 shekels in weight in gold, and he said, "Whose daughter are you, I pray you? Tell me, is there room in your father's house for us to lodge there?" So he was obedient. He listened to what the Lord had to say. He trusted the Lord to do the unseen work when he couldn't do. He knew what he was told to do. He just went and did it and then had to trust that those unseen things that he couldn't do, that God was there doing those things. But he was bold in his obedience. You know, it took some boldness to do these actions. It took boldness on his part to say, "God, look, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to trust you to do this. I'm going to, when I see a woman, I'm going to come and I'm going to say this, and if she's the one, she's going to have this response." It took some boldness to come up to this woman. Here's this woman is. She's pulling up water for herself. Okay, this is not going to be an easy task. And she's got to drag the water all the way back home too. So now he's going to be bold and say, "Hey, draw some water for me as well." And the expectation is that she's going to draw some water for his camels as well. This is bold on his part, but this is what it takes. If we're going to be that servant that the master can entrust everything to, it requires, once we know what we're called to do, once we know what we're to be obedient in, which is his word, but he's also going to give us, if I'm listening, he'll give me specific things to do in obedience. And if I truly want to be that servant that he entrusts everything to, I've got to be willing to be bold and do some things and say some things that maybe would not be within my comfort zone or comfort level. But it's that boldness in the obedience. Here's the 12th thing. God provides for all when we go and move in faith. He provides for everything when we go and move for faith. Now, this is not a characteristic, but this is evidence of what God does. Because he was bold, because he was obedient, because he was bold, God was faithful to take care of all the things to move. When we go and move in faith, he provides all that we have. Let's look at verses 31, 32, and 33. He cried, "Come in, you bless the Lord." So now he's with the family. He's already met Rebecca. We just read that he's asked Rebecca, "Hey, is there a place in the home?" And Rebecca brings her back to the home. He now meets Rebecca's brother, who's Laban, who we see later on through Genesis with Jacob, and also Rebecca's father. So down in verse number 31, he cried, "Come in, blessed are you as the Lord. What do you do standing outside? For I've made a house ready and have prepared a place for the camels." So the man came to the house, and Laban ungirded his camels, gave straw and provender to the camels and water to bathe his feet and the feet of the men who were with him. And a meal was set before him, but he said, "I will not eat until I've told you of my errand." And Laban said, "Speak on." So here he is. Again, he has no context. He's just come in obedience and faithfulness and boldness. He's come into this land of the fathers of his master. And he has found the woman who's going to be the wife for his master's son. He is now in the home. God has provided everything. He probably had to be wondering, where am I going to find a place to eat? Where am I going to find shelter? Who's going to take care of my camels and meet the needs there? But as he comes to Rebecca's house and meets Rebecca's brother and father, the response that he gets is, "Hey, come in. What are you doing out there? Come on inside. We've already provided a place for you." God's always already provided a place for you. You didn't see it. Whatever your needs are, God's already made the provision. You didn't see it, but he's made it. The servant didn't see that this provision had already been made, but God established it. So that Laban said, "Hey, come on in. What are you standing outside for? Come on in. We've prepared the house for you. We've prepared a meal. In fact, we've prepared to have your camels fed and watered. And here's some water to wash your feet and for the feet of those who are with you as well. We've prepared all things. Here's your meal." This is what God does when we are faithful and obedient to him. When we'll be those servants who prove ourselves trustworthy, dependent, and obedient, he will make provision for everything that he's asked us to do. We can look at more of those characteristics. But again, I just encourage you, if you're looking for, if you've said to yourself, I want God, my Father, I want you to entrust, be able to entrust more to me, then we can take the example, the model from this servant, the servant to whom the master entrusted everything in his house. Read through Genesis chapter 24. See those qualities that are there. Apply them in your life and watch as God entrusts more to you.